Hi, everybody. It's Jim Bakei, and the podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. I couldn't help as I watch, like the rest of the people in the world, in horror of what's going on in the Ukraine. I couldn't help but sort of remember stories that I would hear from my parents, because as my wife, Jennifer, pointed out to me, this is exactly how my family left Albania and ended up, thanks to the generosity and the helpfulness of so many other people. They lived in a small town near the Greek border. And when my father was fighting for the nationalists against the communists, my uncle, being the youngest child in the family, was relegated the task to take all the women and the children out of the country. And so he took them south to Greece. And the next 7 to 9 years, I don't know what it was, they lived in refugee camps. And eventually, half our family made their way to New York. Half our family made their way to Canada. Actually, my family came into Halifax, which my sister, before she passed away, had an opportunity to go back to. They landed in Halifax, 30-day boat ride from Italy, landed in Halifax, were processed in 2 hours, put onto a train, trained to Toronto, no idea where you're going, don't speak the language, don't have anything except for the generosity of people at the other end that took them in. And the Poles, the Germans, all of these other countries that are taking all of these refugees should be applauded. I was just watching this morning people having come from Denmark, Sweden, from all different countries, saying with signs at these places. And so, you know, out of incredible tragedy comes a human spirit that really overwhelms. And in this particular case, I guess not dissimilar to my mother's. My father was gone. They were separated for 11 and a half years and through the generosity of the Red Cross. And you just watch all these women and children, you know, more than 1 million people are displaced, and their husbands and their brothers and their sons are staying to fight. You got to be very, very thankful that we live where we live. You know, as a world, we should do much more for these people. And as a world, we should do much more for each other. That's my commentary on it. But this whole tragedy has really made me reflect on how lucky I am that my parents did what they did, and the life that I have, the life that my children have, and now my grandchildren, which is even better. I read this quote by Amelia Earhart. You know, as people that know me know, I save these things, and I'd send it to Katie and I'd forgotten that I had it. But I think it's apropos and a couple of different subjects, but it starts with, the most difficult thing is the decision to act. The rest is mere tenacity. The fears are paper tigers. You can do anything you decide to do. You can act to change and control your life and the procedure. The process is its own reward, by Amelia Earhart. And then I was watching something on TV and I saw a thing about Sidney Poitier, and he said, the journey is the reward. And I thought, that's so apropos for what we talk about so often, right? As people say, depending on your religion, this isn't a dress rehearsal, right? This is life. And I constantly come into people who are unhappy in their lives, but are just frozen and paralyzed into inaction. And when you watch stuff like we're watching on TV, you look at what's going on, the burnout of people, the amount of stress that's going on in people's lives, professionally, personally, the dislocation. It's time to really ask the question, am I happy? Like, am I happy or am I just pretending to be happy? And there's a big difference. And I personally believe that most people in life pretend to be happy. And they justify that happiness in a number of ways. I get lots of money, I've got this, or I do this, or I get this. But at the core, the real core, because as we see today, you don't really need that much. These people are leaving with suitcases, right? If your life was dependent upon it, you know, your multiple cars, your vacation homes, you know, all of that stuff doesn't matter, right? This is in its purest form what survival is about. And these people are leaving to seek a better life, right? Abandoning everything they know. So if they can be as courageous as my parents were and my aunts and uncle were, surely we can be courageous about demanding happiness in our own life. We don't need to be in a life-threatening situation. We don't need to be in a highly stressed condition to be forced to make decisions. Surely as human beings, we can think and process what is it that will make us happy and do the work to figure out what that is. And I mean this as I speak often about this, and I mean this both in relationships between two people and relationship of friends, relationship between companies and individuals and their own company, right? If you're feeling stressed, if there's just like you're on this treadmill and it just seems to be getting higher and faster and you're just not happy, like fundamentally not happy. You know, I played golf last weekend with a guy and he was miserable. He's got a great job, lots of money, and everybody was just, you can just see he was miserable. He's afraid to let go, right? And I'm not suggesting you should just, you know, get up and walk and you know, abandon everything, like, but begin the process, you know, as Amelia Earhart says, you know, the first thing is to act. And the first act is to say, I am not happy and I am going to do something about it. I'm going to explore what my opportunities and possibilities are. You think about the last several speakers that we've had, you know, whether Nick Coleman or Sean, they all kind of did that same sort of thing. They weren't happy with what they were doing. But I think oftentimes people think that there are only certain kinds of people that can do that. Like, I couldn't do that, right? I don't have that willingness or whatever it is. But I actually believe everybody can do it. I actually believe everybody can say, I am not happy, and this is what it would take to make me happy. Maybe not specifically, but you know, I am not happy because I'm not appreciated at my job or in my relationship. I am not happy because someone makes more than me doing the same job. Common thread, particularly for women, unfortunately. I am not happy. So like that, what are you not happy about? I've rid myself of most of my unhappy demons that I've had in my life. There are things that I wish were better or different, but I can truly say that I'm at a point in my life where I am happy. Happiness doesn't mean everything works out perfectly all the time, but fundamentally, I am without angst. I am not pretending to be somebody else. I am working with people that I love working with. I'm coaching, advising people. I'm working with Katie on my podcast, which I look forward to every single week. And I am interacting with people that I choose to interact with. Now, some people say it's too limited. Some people say, you know, you're being a bit of a hermit. I don't care, actually. You know, I really don't care because that's their lens. Oh, you're burning bridges. You do. And I'm like, if I burn a bridge, it's my bridge to burn, you know, and listening to your own inner voice, I think is the hardest thing to do. And for those of you that have young children, teach them to listen to their own inner voice. Encourage them to seek the path that's best for them and really see yourself as a cheerleader and a coach and say less no's and more yeses and figure out ways to make those children confident. Because if you think back to school, you know, they're always the confident kid. But the majority of the kids in class weren't the ones raising their hands. They had to be called on. So they lacked a sense of self-confidence. And I think it translates itself into university. And I think it translates itself into the workplace. Yet over time, as I've seen, the quiet ones often have the most to say, but they're not willing to put their hand up and say it. So part of our jobs, part of our roles, whether professionally or personally, is to draw that out, create a safe environment for those people to be able to be themselves, recognizing that the diversity is really what should be embraced, right? The diversity of thought, the diversity of backgrounds, the diversity of everything. It brings a perspective. It allows a lens that, you know, doesn't have unintended bias, which is 20 white guys in a room talking about how they're not in denial. That just is a side story. When my former partner and I, Richard Venn, started Women in Capital Markets back at CIBC, we had someone do this survey of the senior partners. It was like 35 men. I think there was one woman in it. And anyways, the lady up at the front said, you know, she put up this chart. She said, after surveying everybody, she said, it's very clear that in terms of gender bias, you're all in denial. And the room erupted and they all started screaming at her, we're not in denial. We're not in denial. I was a young kid at that time. It was just so funny, right? Yet that was in late 80s. And in my business, in my interaction with people, I still see a lot of that. It's 40 years later, 35 years later. I still see that unintended bias, that unwillingness to sort of look at it a little differently, just all of that type of stuff. So let's try, especially because, you know, as I was talking to one of my very dear friends and clients yesterday, and she was talking about the level of stress that people have, you know, the combination, you know, if you're working in the financial system, you know, being worried about Ukraine, Russia, the impact on cybersecurity and all of these types of things, people are still stressed from working at home. It's almost like 24 hours a day work. Let's think about, you know, and I know I talked about this, let's think about bringing out the best in people, right? Let's think about encouraging people. And the last thing I want you to think about is do one thing nice for someone this week. Something unexpected. One of my clients said to me that she sat down the other day and wrote out, I think it was about 20 handwritten notes. Boy, there's something from the past. 20 handwritten notes and mailed them to people in her group. Not sort of like great job, blah, blah, blah. Like handcrafted for each individual, something different for Katie, something different for Jim, just because she wanted to. She just wanted to let them know how she was feeling about them. It was a home run. They were so touched. And I think sometimes we forget it. It doesn't take a lot. Sometimes it takes sympathy. Sometimes it takes empathy. And sometimes it just takes, I'm thinking about you. I know it's rough. And it's that just that human touch, right? Everybody wants to be thought of. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to have attention paid to them. And the busier we get, sometimes that gets lost in the wind. And I try to make it with the people that I care for, that I include in my circle, I try to talk to them as often as possible, whether it's a text or send them a stupid TikTok or something else that reminds me of something. You know, with my kids, I talk to all of my kids on a pretty consistent basis. And I talk to my friends on a pretty consistent basis. And sometimes it's not even anything special. It's just, hey, what's going on? Like, you know, we kind of both talk at the same time and move along in the conversation. And like, it's okay, I got to go. Yeah, I got to go too. And you move along. Let's try to use the spirit of, you know, these people running away from something to a better life, to save life, to sort of think about ourselves and how fortunate we are. And let's start thinking more and more about what impact we can have to make other people's lives better. How can we help them be more confident to be themselves? Not more confident to do what you want them to do, but to be themselves, which may not be consistent for you, but to be themselves. And especially with our children, encourage them, no matter how harebrained their ideas are, let them run down the road with it. Let them find out, let's not do this. Oh, that'll never work, you know, and so on and so on. Because the fact of the matter is, our parents didn't know what would work. Their parents didn't know what worked, but the parents before them. So why should we know more than our kids? That's my message this week. Hearts and prayers for all of the people in Ukraine and people outside of the Ukraine that have family and friends there. I'm Jim Bakei. The podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust.